You're listening to Perpetual Traffic.
Hello and welcome to the Perpetual Traffic Podcast. I'm your host, Ralph Ruins, founder of Tier 11. And in this episode here is part two of our episode with Lauren Petrullo on Generation Z and Generation Y, otherwise known as the millennials, and how you as a business owner should be thinking about selling to them. And I think Lauren's got a lot of experience. This is something that I think we didn't really know about Ms. Petrullo, is the fact that she has past experience with one of the largest corporations in the world, which thinks about these sorts of things years before it actually happens, namely the Disney Corporation. And so that type of experience, I think, has led her to be very successful in running Mongoose Media. But also us as marketers here, we have to be aware of the trends that are not only going on right now, but the ones that are coming. And we address a lot of those questions here today, which we haven't really talked about all that much on this show, the difference between Gen Z, millennials, how they make decisions, how they use the algorithms themselves and actually trust the algorithms. This is an entire generation that trusts algorithms to show them relevant, useful content that will assist them or introduce them to brands, but also assist them in making buying decisions of your products and services. So definitely this is one to jot down a lot of notes on. We also talk about Gen Alpha. Gen Alpha is those 14-year-olds that's on the leading edge of that. Basically, anybody born today all the way through to 14 years of age, those are consumers that are going to be with credit cards within just a couple of years. And that is what we refer to as the iPad generation. So we talk about them as well. Also, the importance of tagging products in the feed itself. We're going to talk about TikTok shops. Also talk about Instagram and Facebook shops and how Disney uses market trends in order to predict where they should spend their advertising dollars, where they should spend their marketing dollars years in advance. So this is definitely a forward-thinking episode with Lauren. Without further ado, let's get right into part two of how and why Gen Z and the millennials are disrupting here on Perpetual Traffic. Take it away, guys.
Now there's a whole counter argument to that, like on the political side, reinforces your beliefs. And then you become far more insular, especially when it comes to that, obviously the 2016, 2020 elections.
Yeah.
Got it. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about shopping and buyer behavior. So maybe you can talk to that, like how these generations actually trust the algorithms to help them.
Well, it's relevance is the key word. And again, it's right to a place where they see their parents and other adults talking about stuff that they find irrelevant because they care about. I mean, the Gen Zers care about stuff, I think, more than any other generation I've ever looked into. They want to know the products with purpose. They want to know, is the packaging recyclable? Like they care in a way that others haven't. So when they watch stuff, this is not relevant. Like this, I'm not relevant, but for their older adults that are making a stink about something when there's so much other stuff going on in the world, it almost looks negative that this is where your attention is going versus seeing the value of, no, I want stuff that's relevant for me because it continues to provide stuff that makes my life better. So they are ready to buy. They're just going to be slower to buy because they require that inspiration from someone else first. Right. And that they can learn everything they need to know about it, but they have to filter everything because they know what they want to see. If they care about animal safety, they want to see progress towards initiatives towards animal safety versus like leave alone other stuff. And then if you know that animal safety and rescue is really important, then absolutely bring me brands that give a portion of my funds back to sea life studies and back to cleaning up beaches, things of that nature, because they're using it. It's like, I've given you all the green flags of what I want. The same way that how they date is how they shop. They set up these Tinder profiles. They set up these filters. So it's not seen as the most important thing to look at. I'm sure at some point, collectively, they know, like, ideally, they don't know everything and anything about me. But still, if I'm going to buy a chapstick, I want to know that the chapsticks that are coming in front of me are clean or are vegan or are not produced by child labor or whatever the different lenses that they need it to come through. So it does have this like predisposition of what they trust. Like when we shop at Whole Foods or Trader Joe's or Aldi's, whichever grocery store that you're going into, you chose that store because they've specifically curated products that match your lifestyle and brand preference. So they're using the algorithms to be their in-person shopping stores, their in-person marketplaces. And when you gatekeep and put stuff in funnels by like blocking it, requiring an email or lacking any reviews, social proof or social media presence whatsoever, you look scammy and you look fake.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing to me how both generations really do trust the algorithms to recommend products and recommend, like, my algorithm knows me better than I know myself. Like 41% of millennials agree, 28% of Gen Zers agree, which is interesting. But I mean, algorithms know my taste, like 62 and 49%. Like this is amazing. They're just accepting of the fact that these apps are actually assisting them with making choices that enhance their quality of life, and they're accepting of it as opposed to resisting it, which I just think this is a big deal. But I mean, it could work both ways, right?
Sure.
If you have great products or you have bad products. I mean, obviously it's a double-edged sword here, but I just find that part of this article just fascinating. I never really thought about it that way before. The algorithm, I trust the algorithm. Who's ever said that?
Every marketer ever. The 3% of us that opted in for cookies in a post iOS 14 update.
I know. Every single time I'm like, yeah, I do want that app to track me.
Yeah.
You know, God damn it, Tim Cook. Screw you, you fucking bastard. All right. Well, anyway, so other observations here, like 70% of Gen Zs and 69% of millennials only trust a brand after carrying out their own research. I think that's sort of self-serving. It's what we had talked about before. Mm-hmm. And that research is obviously done on these discovery platforms, obviously TikTok, YouTube.
It's the new search. It's decentralization of where they go and trust the information they're getting ahead of them. If they're already on Instagram or they're already on TikTok, why do they have to leave to go somewhere else? I would just like, earlier you had talked about like you go to Google. I think something to be mindful of, and this is especially true for like older generations, is where you would seek it out, because we have like Siri and Alexa and things of that nature that are, you're used to asking a question directly and getting that answer because of what you're introduced to. Versus, I think, where people are looking at TikTok or other socials for that consumption, or maybe even going to an AI, like this decentralization of where they get the information. They're not typing questions into these algorithms. They're not asking for answers. Instead, they're giving these indicators of what they want to be inspired by. Like, show me more, like consuming contents the way that we would watch trailers before a movie. It's like the trailers before someone makes a buy. So I just mindful of like, what are people actually searching? Because there's going to be a place where all posts will be optimized and you're going to have search. You already like, actually small note, we should do a whole separate thing on this, but with Meta AI that was released last week, there's going to be a lot more search components, and it's only a matter of time, I'm sure, before Meta starts introducing search ads into their platform because of the way that's set up. But I wanted to be mindful of how people ask, and people ask differently. And even if you think about, if you're listening to it and you know a Gen Zer or a millennial, and they like ask you what you perceive as stupid questions, or they bring up something as you're like, why would you ask it to me like that? And it's like, remember, that's the frame of which they've been learning for the last decade.
Yeah, for sure. It's interesting when we explain this to clients, we always say, okay, well, let's look at all your different channels. Where's discovery? Where's top of funnel? It's typically, it's like Meta, but not quite as much on TikTok based upon some of the brands that we represent. Mm. But then, you know, the last click usually comes from Google.
Sure.
Which is fine. Like, that makes sense. You know, obviously you're doing the brand search, you do your discovery, but in between there is like this whole other part to it, which is like YouTube. Further path. It's not, I see it once and then I go to Google. If you're still thinking that way and you're still thinking, John Moran is on staff here at Tier 11, just did this presentation for us. He showed the consumer path for, it's a beauty brand, and each individual consumer, and how many touch points. There are some for like a $37 purchase.
Yeah.
There was this one woman, she had 77 touch points on 77 different ways. And some of that was like view, and we don't even know. Like there's probably even more. Those are just things that she clicked before she bought a $37 product. Are you kidding me? It's crazy. So think about this. Like that's why you need to be, I hate to say it, you need to be everywhere. You really do. Your socials, obviously, your advertising, your marketing. One of the huge parts of this article, which I think we all know inherently, and it's interesting to hear that millennials and Gen Z do the same thing, is that if you know you're going to buy something, which of the following do you do prior to purchasing?
Yeah.
And boom, it's always, especially if it's e-commerce, well, like unless it's a service, we're probably not talking about a service here. I mean, it's one source.
Amazon. You know?
100%. And you can't ever discount that. That is just, if you're there, if you're not there, you need a strategy around it. I know clients of ours will premium price on Amazon so that they'll go back to their product and make sure that they have a better offer than Amazon, or they just give into it and realize, hey, I'm going to give up to 15, 18%, whatever it happens to be. Mm-hmm. You know, everyone's got Prime. I'll still make my money because I've got my profit margins and I understand my economics behind it. And I just know that they're going to discover me over on Meta and maybe on Google. They're going to see me on TikTok and YouTube, and then they're ultimately going to buy on Amazon. And that's okay.
Yeah.
And it's just a part of it. And it's like, this is this generation. Like once again, it's, you know, this is not people just price shopping. This is this generation does it as well. And it's no different behavior, which I thought was very interesting.
But also look at the last one on that list, which is 13% for Gen Zers and 15% for millennials, asking a retail associate. We're introverts. We stayed inside for 2 years. Like, no, we don't want to bother someone and assume that they don't actually know us well enough, or that they waste our time, or they hit on you and it's awkward. And like, we don't have blockbusters anymore to get to know someone and have small talk. Small talk is definitely going away, and it's evolving into like more community pockets of conversations. But I think that was really interesting and something that highlighted to me. Obviously, you know how much I'm an advocate for Pinterest, but like that's a specific question that brought up attention because it is a visual search engine platform that I think people disagree with. But did you notice like the discouraging component from a purchase? About 40% of Gen Zers were like, if you interrupt my content, you butthead. So it's got like that native component where if you're interrupting me, go away. It's like you don't want to disturb a sleeping baby.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, suffer the consequences. Don't make the sale as a result of that. Don't bug me. Mm-hmm. Now, there's just so much here to sort of unpack. What else as we sort of wind things down here? I mean, obviously, we've got like the Gen Alpha emergence that's coming along here.
Yeah.
And what do people like from your opinion? I know you've made more of a study of this. Like that's sort of the next wave that's coming within the next couple of years. Now, what are your observations on Gen Alpha? What should people be watching out for? Is it just going to be more of the same here, or is it going to be even less like millennials and less like Gen Z? What's your sense?
I think it's going to be drastically different in a lot of ways. You have to think of the disruption to their education. A lot of them are now a year or two behind. So what does that mean for sophistication of your marketing in that language? Are you still talking to someone that's like a fifth grader? Maybe you have to be mindful of that into your component too. They're used to not watching ads on YouTube. So it might be going back to the 1950s style in product placement and partnering with the shows that have already captured their attention and leveraging that so you can be inserted into a natural conversation so that you can build out FOMO in that capacity. I think someone, if you are like, if you really want to get into this, like definitely give more resources, because even at Disney, I would do a marketing report. Like we would show to all marketing departments of the world and land emerging stuff so that we can make sure we were out of our parks and resorts lens, where we would show like what our ends doing for like, it was an inspiration report kind of thing. So if this is something you're remotely interested, you should definitely be on the Telegram channel, which is like what, perpetualtraffic.com/Telegram, and like geek out with me on that.
Yeah.
But I think like the fixing back to like working with the brands, having natural product placements will be a way for you to win. And then just watch what Amazon is doing, because Amazon owns the customer. They have entertainment. They have the shopping experience. And if you've started noticing, like when you pause, you see X-ray. So X-ray will show you who is in that scene. So you don't have to go to your phone and leave Amazon. So remember the beginning, Disney didn't want you to leave property. Amazon doesn't want you to leave. It's their own personal Disney World, right? So instead of going on your phone, because you know that you're acting on your phone while watching TV, people are multi-device consuming at the same time. They're giving you X-ray. So you see the answer right then and there and your phone stays down.
They're giving into it.
Yeah. But they have the music that's shown first, because then you can buy through Amazon Music, maybe 99 cents if you really like that song. But just wait, like it's 1,000% coming, where you can pause and you'll be able to use the app or show your phone, or it'll give directly into it links to the products that they're wearing or links to the products that they're talking about, because Amazon already has the infrastructure to do it. It's just rolling that out. Like it's going to be immersive experiences are going to win for the Gen Alpha 1,000% because all they're doing is consuming. So you have to immerse your brand into what they're consuming. Otherwise you won't be discovered.
Yeah. What show did I, what was it? I think it was Billions.
Oh, I love that show.
Where they had interviews with the individual cast members. And then it's the first time I had ever seen this. This is about 6 or 7 months ago. Mm-hmm. It was like an adjunct to Billions. Mm-hmm. And then they actually showed like what they were wearing, and you could click and get information. You couldn't buy it.
Oh, okay.
It was so freaking cool. Like I was watching it on my iPad. I'm like, I don't know whether I got like a beta or what, but you could tap on like the watch that Axe was wearing. And it's like, you know, it's the Tissot, whatever the hell it was. It was I forget which one it was, like $250,000 watch, whatever it was. You couldn't buy it, but you knew what it was.
But it's coming.
It's totally coming.
You already have that with tagging products. Like people have been able to tag products and posts for 2 years. And like, if you don't know this, the way you tag people, you just hit one tab over and you type at products, and you can connect to not just products you have, but anyone who is a posting. You can tag products that are in Instagram and Meta shops into your, and then that's where TikTok shops affiliate managers have like completely, like that stuff is already existing. The technology to like, you can use your phone and scan, and you can get Google shopping recommendations for like this red dress, right? It may not be, they don't know that it's a Banana Republic dress, but they'll show other red dresses that match so much image AI research. So it's just being mindful if you have a brand and you're looking at generational acquisition, because when someone buys a brand, they stay. Look at internet companies, look at vacation planning brands, look at Amazon, and start to see how they go after consumers. And remember that their KPIs are not the click and that kind of stuff. One of the campaigns I was on that my team did for Disney was the Shadow Your Disney Side. So if you ever look up on YouTube, the Shadow Your Disney Side, it was a takeover of Long Island Mall. What success measured on a multiple six-figure campaign wasn't ticket sales or anything like that. It was earned media. So how much earned media did this event generate as awareness for the parks?
We'll leave links in the show notes for that. We'll actually find that. You're not in that, are you?
No. I went to Long Island Takeover. I mean, it's really good. I will send you the link right now. Because like, if you feel no emotion in the end, you are dead inside a little.
Check your pulse.
You're a Universal fan. Okay, get it. You like DC and you like Batman. Fine, whatever.
Yeah.
But anyone who watches it and like has experienced the emotional tie-in with Disney, that's what they do really, really well when they're able to look outside of the immediate click, the immediate ROI, the immediate ROAS. And then you start to go into the branding, the feeling that's left behind. Because remember, anyone who's been to Disney World, Orlando, Florida, it's hot. It's a swamp. You're literally in the not nicest climate 9 months of the year. Yeah. You're surrounded by 100,000 other sweaty human beings. You're waiting in line for hours to meet a princess, and your kids are overstimulated, screaming because they want to buy a $27 bottle of water.
Sounds like hell to me.
It does, but there's this Disney bubble that as soon as they leave X amount of miles away from Disney, it's like, oh, that was the best vacation ever. Right. And they want to rebook again. So there's something to be said about the success of these brands that can and have the pocket power. Like, I recognize that like small businesses have to get fun with it, but when you can immerse your consumer and get them attached to an emotional connection, have a conversation started where you're influencing the conversation and you're not relying on them to go onto Amazon to find all that for you. When you can jump into that conversation, you can't lose.
Yeah. Big brands are big, and there's none bigger than Disney, really. Like, it's top 10, top 20 in the world. Big brands are big because of reasons, because they know what they're doing, because they've been able to do this kind of stuff. So if you can at least follow some of the concepts that I think we've talked about here today, and looking forward, and even in modeling the big brands and how they actually have created that wealth and that size and that influence, that you're on the right path here. Yeah. As far as like growing your individual business. And by the way, the watch that was worn by Bobby Axelrod, it was not a Tissot. It was a men's Patek Philippe Grand Complications 44 18K Rose, the most expensive watch on the planet. And anyway, I was like, holy crap, I never realized it was a watch out there for $387,000, but I didn't buy it.
But that was an ad.
Hopefully that was someday.
Placement. The costume team
it's
did
in
not.
My head now.
They didn't buy that watch either, but they partnered with that brand and said, hey, do you want to get in front of your ideal customers? And we'll be able to show it to anyone that wants to have and live that same lifestyle. It's a status symbol.
That's where some of this is going here. So anyway, well, this has been cool. Obviously, we're going to leave a lot of links in the show notes. We'll leave a link to the Vogue article that we discussed. We will also leave some links on some of the on the My Disney's shadow your Disney side.
I'm sending it to you now.
Videos as well. All right, good. So we got that. And make sure that you do. Let's talk about this over on Telegram. We've got a lot of folks in Telegram now. It's crazy. There's like so many people joining every single day. So definitely join that over at perpetualtraffic.com/Telegram. Lauren is now in there because we need backup. You know, me and Costum like need help. I'm trying to like recruit people, like answer all the questions here. So, but great to have you over there. It's and feedback like you're giving us in there is super, super helpful for us to continue to scale and grow this podcast and help marketers and influence businesses and hopefully make a difference in the world, Lauren, because that's really what it's all about. It's not just about just becoming rich and famous. But wherever you listen to podcasts, make sure that you leave a rating, especially you Spotify people. You're awfully stingy, we've found recently. You don't even have to write anything, for crying out loud. Just hit the 5-star button. And of course, follow me on LinkedIn. Where's your preferred social channel, Lauren Petrullo?
Preferred?
Where do people like to?
Okay, I'm most active on Instagram at Lauren E. Petrullo, but I will tell you for the next like quarter, I'm trying to get into X. I'm trying to learn and understand. I think it's a really great resource, but I'm most active on Instagram.
On Instagram.
But don't
Got
be
it.
Like, I'm not that super active. I'm more than my mom for sure.
Well, there is that. So, and make sure that you do follow us over on YouTube, perpetualtraffic.com/YouTube. Channel is growing like a weed. And if I didn't mention it before, the Telegram channel, perpetualtraffic.com/Telegram. That's like 15 calls to action here at the end of the podcast, which you never really want to do. But anyway, on behalf of my awesome stand-in co-host this week, Lauren Petrullo.
See ya. And that's how Costum says it. See ya.
Until next show. Peace.
You've been listening to Perpetual Traffic.